St. Thomas the Apostle, known as Thomas Didymus, or Doubting Thomas, is the patron saint of, get ready for this list, architects, construction workers, stonemasons, and masons more generally, stonecutters, surveyors, Ceylon, the East Indies, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, India, blind people, doubters, and last but not least, theologians, who might as well be lumped in with the doubters. You can tell Barclay I said that. But what I really think that St. Thomas should be the patron saint of is grown-ups, or as the kids like to say these days, adulting. Adult is a past participle of adolescere, which means, of course, to grow into maturity. An adolescent is one who is growing up. An adult is one who has grown up. And Thomas, perhaps more than any of the other apostles, is the grown-up of this post-crucifixion situation. While the rest of the apostles are huddled in a room together, scared for their life, Thomas isn't there. Perhaps Thomas was the one doing the grocery run, or checking on business, or was out and about trying to find out more information. We don't know where Thomas was, but we sure know where Thomas wasn't, which was in the room with a bunch of scaredy cats. We also have the very grown-up reaction of Thomas to hearing the unbelievable news that Jesus was not in fact dead, but had returned to visit the disciples while Thomas was out. Thomas scoffs and tells the other disciples, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark in his hands and in his side, I will not believe." Thomas is not going to indulge in this hallucinatory group fantasy. Thomas is too grown up for that nonsense. But what really makes Thomas the patron saint of the grown-up is that the experience of becoming an adult is by definition the experience of crisis. For some, adulthood comes swiftly and cruelly with the loss of parents or home or some other kind of trauma that forces you to fend for your own survival. For others, adulthood is the process of going out on your own and having to make your own mistakes and moving through those mistakes as best you can. But whether adulthood comes quickly or slowly, you aren't really an adult until you've struggled through life enough to have sufficient experience to have become mature. And becoming a mature person of faith is not unlike becoming an adult. Like the fact that you don't possess adulthood, you've become an adult. You don't possess faith as much as you've become a mature person in faith. Faith isn't static, something to be possessed, but rather something that grows and changes with experience. Faith, like adulthood, lies in the struggle of experience. Thomas was a child in the faith once. Thomas must have watched Jesus with wonder and delight as Jesus healed the sick and cast out demons. Thomas must have loved listening to Jesus tell parables and teach the disciples how to love each other. Thomas must have felt so safe and secure in Thomas's own Messiah, the one who is going to make everything all right. And then Thomas's delight and love and faith were beaten, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, and died a public and horrific death. Of course, Thomas isn't going to believe that nonsense about resurrection. Look what just happened. And our own childlike faith dies on crosses too. Crosses of tragedy and loss, crosses of despair and anguish, crosses of real life consequences, crosses of chaos. Our childlike faith of wonder and delight is battered and beaten down by our experience of this broken and bleeding world. We have the wounds to prove it. Of course we're not going to believe this nonsense about resurrection. Look what just happened. We longed for proof, as Thomas longed for proof, because we've been so damaged by life experience that resurrection seems too good to be true. We need to see something, anything, that can prove to us that our faith can be resurrected. Like Thomas, we want to stick our fingers in the wound, to feel and know for ourselves that despite all that has happened, this good news is true. The following week, Thomas gets to experience the resurrection firsthand when Jesus shows up. And notice what happens. Jesus doesn't scoff at Thomas or mock Thomas for doubting. No. Jesus invites Thomas into the very places where Jesus was wounded, the very places where it seemed as though sin and death had conquered hope. And it is these wounds, the proof that Thomas's faith in Jesus was well placed, that leads Thomas to proclaim, "My Lord and my God," and truly believe it. Growing into our faith, and aren't we always growing, means that we will struggle. We will go through times when it seems as though life is as dark as a Good Friday sky. But if we can just hang on until Jesus shows up again, we can gain the experience needed to know that Jesus will show up again the next time the sky goes black, and the next time, and the time after that. And then eventually, we get to the place where we can know that Jesus, despite the wounds, is somehow with us, right here and right now. Faith isn't a light switch. Faith is the slow and gradual coming of the dawn. As Thomas struggles with his faith, Thomas becomes a grown-up, mature in his faith. There is no growing without struggle, just as there is no resurrection without death. In his doubt, Thomas becomes a mature person of faith, into someone who will not just be Thomas the twin or doubting Thomas, but Thomas the apostle, sent out to preach the good news near and far. In the end, Thomas becomes Saint Thomas, not in spite of, but because of his doubt. Saint Thomas, patron saint of doubters, theologians, and grown-ups. Amen.